John chapter 3, beginning in verse number 1. Most of you are familiar with this, but we want to preach this morning concerning some people in the Bible and their interaction with the Lord Jesus Christ. The title of my message is Nicodemus, Zacharias, and Lazarus. Nicodemus, Zacharias, and Lazarus. You know, most of the Bible is written by men, but it was written inspired by the Holy Spirit of God. Every word, I believe, is inspired. It's God-breathed. But as you read the Bible, you'll find it's about people. God used people to give us the record that He wants us to have of the life of Christ, or the life of the Old Testament saints. And He gave us a record of their good points and their bad points. And because they're people, there's plenty of both. But I want to read in John chapter number 3 and verse 1, there was a man. There was a man of the Pharisees. He's identified as a religious man. His name was Nicodemus. Nico in the Greek meaning victor or victorious. And demos means people. He was a victor over the people. And it goes on to explain that a ruler of the Jews. He had authority over the Jews to some degree. He was on the Sanhedrin Council, which means he was among the elite of the Jews as far as their religion was concerned. He sat in on the councils and he knew the Jewish religion. So this man is identified to us as Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. And then verse 2, the same came to Jesus by night, which is indicative of something about the way he approached the Lord. He didn't come during the day, but he came by night, under cover of night, and said unto him, Rabbi, teacher, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles which thou doest except God be with him. I think we can tell from this an indication that while Nicodemus was a Jew in the fullest extent, there's something about this man Jesus that kind of troubled him. So he came to him by night and he recognized him as a teacher from God. And the reason, of course, was no man can do these miracles except God be with him. Verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Jesus immediately gets to the point of, I believe, what's troubling Nicodemus. And he gets to the point of his problem. He was a Jew. He was sent in the Sanhedrin Council. He recognized the Lord as a special person, one sent by God. But no doubt, as you read this, he was lost. He didn't know God. Because no man can know God except he knows the Lord Jesus Christ, and he did not know who Jesus was. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. He was more than a teacher come from God. He was God in the flesh. No man can do these things except God be with him. Now, God was with him, but Jesus immediately recognized. And he says in verse 3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, he'll say later, you must be born again. First, he says, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Again, indicating that Nicodemus had never been saved. He'd never experienced a new birth. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Now you see, Nicodemus is thinking the normal way, the rational way that men think. Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. There's more than natural birth. Let's go back for just a moment to verse 3, except a man be born again. The word again is found multiple times in the Bible, throughout the scriptures. It's found in the original language. Of course, this was written in Greek, and it's been translated into our English King James Version, which we're thankful for. I can't read Greek. I'd hate to have to go study it to read the Bible, so I'm thankful for the King James Version, the translators who translated this. But in the process, there's a question here about the word that they used, again, born again. And I'll show you by other scriptures what it really means. It means literally, except a man be born from above. And Nicodemus was confused about what Jesus was talking about. Let me just give you a couple of examples. In John 3, verse 31, right across the page, here's John the Baptist. In verse 31 of John 3, he that cometh anothen, same Greek word exactly. It's not translated again in this text. But John says, he that cometh from above is above all. That is the Greek word anothen, above, from above. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaketh of the earth, but he that speaketh from heaven, or he that cometh from heaven, is above all. Above all. The word, the Greek word anothen, is used several times in the Greek New Testament, and many of the times, most of the time, it's translated from above. I'll give you another example. In John 19, verse 11, staying in the same book, the 19th chapter of John, and in the 11th verse, Jesus is on trial before Pilate. In John 19 and verse number 11, Pilate is deriding the Lord. Speakest thou not unto me? Knowest thou not that I have power to crucify thee and have power to release thee? Jesus answers in verse 11. Jesus answered, thou couldst have no power at all against me except it were given thee an oathen from above. Therefore, he that delivered me unto thee hath the greater sin. What I'm trying to impress upon you, that you might understand what Jesus is talking about when he says you must be born again, it's not as Nicodemus thought, he can go back to his mother's womb and be born physically in the flesh. He's talking about something spiritual. He's talking about a birth that must take place from above. You must be born from above. You must be born of the Spirit of God. You find the same thing in James 1, verse 17. James 3, verses 15 and 17. In every reference, it's from above, from above, from above. But here in John 3, it's translated, except a man be born again. Luke chapter 1, we'll read this and quit. Just turn back to the first chapter of John, or Luke, rather. Luke 1, when Luke began his record of the gospel, notice how he begins it in the first chapter of Luke. Forasmuch as many have taken in hand to set forth in order a declaration of those things which are most surely believed among us, even as they delivered them unto us, which from the beginning were eyewitnesses and ministers of the word. Now this is Matthew and John. It seemed good to me also, having had perfect understanding of all things from the very first, All things is another translation of anothen. He's simply saying, having had perfect understanding from above. Now, John was there. Matthew was there. But Luke wasn't. And Luke writes, and he writes this in several places in his gospel, that he got a special revelation from God, and he wrote his gospel by special revelation. Not so much by firsthand witness, but by special revelation, because he was not there in many of the things that happened. Now, he wrote the book of Acts, and he was there in many of those cases. But he wrote things that were revealed to him from above by the Spirit of God. And when Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He wasn't talking about a physical birth taking place all over again. "Except you be born from above by the Spirit of God." I hope you understand that. Maybe I'm straining at it, but let me say this. It does not mean, or does it even refer to, water baptism. Most Christian denominations have taught and believe that being born again means being born into the waters of baptism, that when you go into the waters of baptism, you're fulfilling what Jesus said, you must be born again. He's not even referring to that vaguely. He goes on to say, in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again." Again, the word is anothen. In this very text, you must be born from above. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh, or whether it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. That should not be confusing. But it is. Because men want to do something to be saved, and they've substituted the fact that they're willing to go into the waters of baptism and somehow make that what Jesus was talking about when he said, "You must be born again." And they actually, as a doctrine, believe that unless you go into the waters of baptism, you can't be saved. False. The waters of baptism will not save you. You must be born from above. And Nicodemus was very religious. He was into the Jewish religion completely. But he had no life from above. And Jesus knew that. That's why he stressed it twice. "Except a man be born again." And then he says in verse 7, "Marvel not that I said, you must be born again." You must be born from above. Nicodemus, it's not the Jewish religion. It's not your position in Judaism. It's not the fact you sit on the Sanhedrin council. You must have a birth that comes from the Spirit. Because the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, like the wind does. Now, Nicodemus pictures what every man experiences. He comes to this world and he's dead to spiritual things. He's dead while he lives. Do you understand what I'm saying? He's dead spiritually while he lives physically. He was troubled by it. That's why he came to the Lord by night. Nicodemus was troubled. There was something missing. Oh, he had everything that Judaism required of him, but there was still something missing. And the man Jesus Christ brought this before him in such a manner, he sought him out by night so that he might find out what was missing. He was dead while he lives, because without a new birth, without a birth from above, every man that comes into this world is born lost. They're born with the nature of Adam, a nature that sins. And while I believe that children are safe until they come to the age of accountability, and that differs, they come into this world with a nature that's willing to go into the waters of baptism if they think it'll get them into heaven. They're willing to do a lot of things. They're willing to be a Jew and sit on the Sanhedrin council and steadfastly hold to the Jewish doctrine. They're willing to do anything except what they can't do. They can't control the Spirit of God. So Nicodemus, he can't see the kingdom of God. He can't enter into the kingdom of God unless he's born again. He's dead spiritually, but alive physically. So please retain that as we continue. And turn with me to Luke 19. 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Again, I remind you of the title of my message, Nicodemus, Zacchaeus, and Lazarus. Luke 19, verse number 1. And Jesus entered and passed through Jericho, and behold, there was a man. Now understand what I'm saying to you. Jesus Christ came into this world to interact with men. The gospel records are basically a record of people that he met and he interacted with in one way or another. He met a man, Nicodemus, by Nicodemus seeking him out at night. And he confronted him with the fact, you're religious, you're a stickler for your religion, but you're lost. You must be born again. Now here we find a man named Zacchaeus. Now, it's interesting, I always look these names up. It means pure. Here's a man whose name meant pure, which was the chief among the publicans, and he was rich. Verse 3, and he sought to see Jesus, who he was. Now here's a man with a similar situation in his life. He's rich. He's chief among the publicans. I preached this in another message before some time ago, but that simply means he didn't do any work. He just took the money in. He was a chief. They brought the money to him. He got it to Rome. And he skimmed off part of it. That was part of the agreement with the Roman government. He got a certain amount of that, and he became very rich. But verse 3 says he sought to see Jesus, who he was, because he could not, for the press, see the Lord, because he was little of stature. Nothing wrong with that, is there? Paul was little of stature. Zacchaeus was little of stature. David was little of stature, I believe. The Bible teaches that. But he couldn't see the Lord because people were pressing so close. He couldn't get over the crowd. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. Now he sought to see Jesus. He didn't know the Lord. The Lord didn't know him. They never met. But he sought to see him. There's something here. I mean, he's rich. As far as this world is concerned, he's got all that he needs, all kind of material things, but there's something not right. Because he heard about this man, Jesus. And I want to impress this point. Once you hear about Jesus, you'll never be the same. Even if you die lost, especially if you die lost, you'll never be the same. You can't hear about Jesus and not be affected by it. It was true with Nicodemus. He sought the Lord by night. It's true with Zacchaeus. He sought the Lord in the daytime. Verse 5, when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. Now again, he sought to see Jesus who he was. He didn't know him, but he heard some things about him. And what he heard bothered him. And he wanted satisfaction, so he climbs up a tree to see the Lord. And the Lord comes under the tree and looks up and says, Zacchaeus, come down. You know, when you hear the name Jesus, you should understand what his name means, should you not? That's what bothers people. Jehovah is salvation. Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Yahushua, Jesus, is the Savior. And that bothers people when they realize they're unsaved. And it bothers them. And it bothered Zacchaeus. And he wanted to see him. So he put himself in a place where he could see him. And when Jesus came and looked up and saw him, he called him by name. Called him Zacchaeus. He knew what his name was. How do you know that? John 10:3, we'll find the answer to that in John the 10th chapter. When Jesus is speaking here concerning the sheep and the sheepfold, and he says in John 3, talks about the robber comes up some other way, but to him the porter openeth, talking about the shepherd, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Important. Remember that. The sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. What happened in Luke chapter 19? A man had never seen the Lord. He was rich, had everything this world could offer, but something is missing. And he climbs up that tree with the intention of seeing the Lord, and the Lord sees him first and calls him by name. He calleth out his own sheep. The Bible says he calls them out by name. In verse 9, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. And further in that chapter, verse 14, I'm the good shepherd and know my sheep. And am known of mine. I know them, they know me. They'd never met before. Zacchaeus didn't know him to this point, but does he know him now? When Jesus calls his name, what happens? What did he tell Nicodemus? You must be born again. What happens when Jesus calls the name of Zacchaeus? The Spirit of God works in his heart because he's a sheep. And he recognizes the voice of the Lord. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep and I'm known of mine. When you go back to Luke 19 and verse number 5, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. Can you see what happened? Zacchaeus, just hearing that call from the Lord, he responded immediately and joyfully, and he came down out of that tree because he knew the Lord. He'd never seen him before, but when the Lord sends out that call, he's a sheep, and Jesus is the shepherd, and he can't escape it. Why did he respond in the way he did? Because he knew his voice. He knew who he was. And Jesus goes on to say further, in verse 10, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Zacchaeus was lost. He was alive physically, but he was dead spiritually. Same thing with Nicodemus. But one thing is different. With Nicodemus, you see, Nicodemus is left in suspense. He still doesn't understand. When Jesus leaves him, he's still lost. But what about this? When he leaves Zacchaeus, he was dead physically. He was alive physically. He was dead spiritually. But now he's alive physically and he's alive spiritually because the shepherd is called and he heard his voice. And immediately comes down. I can't take time to read what Zacchaeus did. The half of my goods I bestowed to the poor. I tell you, when the shepherd calls and the sheep hear, you'll see the things in their life that the Bible tells us should be in our life. You must be born again also indicates a repentance. Zacchaeus had been taking some things wrongfully. He admits it. He said, I'm going to give them back fourfold. So again, Nicodemus was alive physically, dead spiritually. The Lord left him in that condition temporarily. Zacchaeus was alive physically and doing very well, but he was dead spiritually until the Lord said, Zacchaeus. I believe that one word was enough. Zacchaeus, come down. I must abide at thy house today. I know you don't possibly grasp all this, but there's so much depth in this. I can only tell you, when the Lord calls, you'll answer. Zacchaeus did. Why did he answer? He recognized the shepherd. As sheep recognize their shepherd, Zacchaeus recognized his shepherd, and he came down. And he went about correcting some things that were wrong in his life. And Jesus Christ went into his house that day. And he said, salvation has come to this house today. The Lord saved him. So, he was alive physically, dead spiritually. But now he's alive physically and he's alive spiritually. He's been saved by the grace of God, by the call of the Lord Jesus Christ. He just called his name. Thirdly, let's go to John chapter number 11, and we'll see the third person that Jesus interacted with during the days of his ministry. I'm giving you some of this in a brief form. I trust you understand that. If you've never read the record of Lazarus and Mary and Martha, you'll know one thing is clear in verse 5 of chapter 11, now Jesus loved Martha. If you're saved, it's not so much that, you know, we used to sing in Bible school, oh, how I love Jesus. We sing it sometime, oh, how I love Jesus. But you know what's more important than that? I'm so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Now, what can we draw from this verse? Now, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. They were all three alive spiritually. They were alive physically. But like Zacchaeus had just come to, these at some time in the past had been born again. The Spirit of God had moved upon them. They were born from above. They were quickened and made alive. And Jesus loved them. So he comes after appeal from the two sisters. Lazarus is sick and he waited 4 days. Deliberately. Because he wanted to do something special. And finally, after talking with his disciples for a while, then said Jesus unto them in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Now he's alive spiritually, but he's dead physically. He was born again before he died. He was a saved man. He was a sheep. Jesus was his shepherd. Jesus had called his name as he called the name of Zacchaeus. He called him out. But he is dead physically, but he's alive spiritually. Now in verse 40, let's go to the end of this because I need some more time. Jesus said unto her, being Martha, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. This is what it's all about. He waited 4 days till Lazarus was buried on purpose. He wanted them to see the glory of God. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Zacchaeus, come down. What did Zacchaeus do? He came down. He calls loudly, Lazarus, come forth. What does Lazarus do? And he that was dead, in verse 44, came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, Loose him and let him go. He that was alive physically when the Lord saved him died, even as a Christian, a person who knew the Lord. But he is one man who was saved, who died, and lived again. You know what he's a picture of? The resurrection. For those of us that are saved, what is our hope? The resurrection. What do we preach? Christ died, was buried, he rose again the third day. And because he lives, we live also. We're going to live with him forever. Alive spiritually while alive physically, he fell asleep, which means he died. But Jesus raised him from the dead. Lazarus was one of his sheep. Now I want to summarize this real quickly. In John 3, Nicodemus is a picture of all men. He may be religious, may join the church, may outwardly, morally have a good record before people, but he hasn't been born again, therefore, he's lost. It doesn't matter. As far as you stand before God, how good you are in morality, that's not what God is looking for. What's your faith in? Is it in yourself? Are you hoping to do good enough so God will accept you? Or is it in the Lord Jesus Christ, his Son? Nicodemus is a picture of all men without a new birth, lost and ignorant of his condition. I don't mean that in a bad sense. He just had never been taught. That's why he came to Jesus. We know that thou art a teacher come from God. So he come to be taught. Religious, but lost. Trusting in his religion. Trusting in something without having been moved by the Spirit of God. He knew nothing about a new birth. However, he was troubled by his condition. His knowledge of Jesus. Beloved, we need to proclaim the name of Jesus because it condemns men. They may not know much about him, but just the name of Jesus Christ condemns men. It makes them be troubled like Nicodemus. It makes them be troubled like Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus was troubled by his awareness of the name Jesus. He had heard about him, he had not seen him. He wanted to see him. A picture of a man who experienced a new birth is Zacchaeus. He knew what it was like. He knew what Jesus was talking about now. When he said, Zacchaeus, come down, he came down. And there was something in him that was different because it began to take his goods and begin to divide them with other people. And begin to restore anything that he'd taken by fraud, and he gave them back fourfold. Why? Because he'd been born again. He followed immediately because he was made alive spiritually by the Spirit of God. Jesus called and he came because he knew the shepherd's voice. And then Lazarus. Lazarus was made alive spiritually before he died, as I said. He was loved by the Lord. Oh, how special it is. If you can say that this morning, the Lord loves me. Not so much what you say about loving the Lord, but what does the Lord say about you? The Bible tells us, now Jesus loved Lazarus. You need to be sure the Lord loves you. And I think one of the ways we do make sure that the Lord loves us is because we love Him. We love Him because He first loved us, John said. That's what makes us love Him. We love Him because we know He first loved us. Lazarus was made alive spiritually before he died. And then he died physically. I know, beloved, these things sometimes are hard to understand. A death is, it's really troubling. It's one of the hardest things that we as human beings have to deal with. We don't understand why. Why, Lord? Job didn't understand why 10 of his children were taken out with one tornado. And all these physical things were removed immediately. And we have the book of Job, about 37 chapters trying to understand that. But in the last two chapters, you'll see the full effect of it. Why God let it happen. He died physically, but Jesus raised him from the dead. Gave him back that physical life. So, Nicodemus, a picture of all men who've not been saved. Zacchaeus, a picture of a man who was lost and the Lord saved him. And Nicodemus, a picture of a man who was saved and yet he died and the Lord raised him from the dead. That's a picture of us. Unless the Lord comes before I die, you die, we're going to die. As hard as we hate to deal with it, as much as we struggle against it at times, it's going to happen because that's the way of all the earth. God ordained it that way. But isn't it wonderful to be able to die knowing I'm one of his sheep? He called me. I love him because he first loved me. And though I die and they put me in a grave somewhere, my body will, as Job said, though skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. That's what the gospel is all about. And it was all for the glory of God. Nicodemus knew something was missing. But you know the wonderful thing about the story of Nicodemus is while the Lord didn't bring it about as he did in the life of Zacchaeus, quickly, eventually, as you study your Bible, you read in John 7, verse 50, he was on a Sanhedrin council and they were on the Lord Jesus Christ. And what is Nicodemus doing? He's defending the Lord. And then you go to John chapter number 19 and you'll find Nicodemus is there with Joseph of Arimathea preparing the Lord's body for burial. Why did he do that? So he finally understood, and the Lord quickened him, made him alive. He became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I hope that these different stages of these people that Jesus interacted with will be a comfort to you if you're saved. We don't have to die in fear. We fear death naturally as human beings. We fear it. But beloved, spiritually, we die with the knowledge that Job had, though after the skin worms devour my body, yet in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself and not another. See, we believe in a personal bodily resurrection. Are you saved today by the grace of God as Lazarus was? Do you live and believe in Him as Jesus asked Martha? I'm the resurrection and the life. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? And Martha said, yea, Lord. We believe that thou art the Christ. Do you believe he's the Christ? If you don't, it troubles you. It troubles you. You're just like Nicodemus. And you're just like Zacchaeus. What is the promise? He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Now, Lazarus is already dead at this time. He wasn't talking about that physical death, was he? He's talking about a spiritual death, an eternal death. Each of these three teach us about ourselves. Jesus Christ is a good shepherd. Those of us who are saved are his sheep. We know that. We want to follow him. We're sometimes like a lot of sheep. We go wandering off on our own at times, but we want to follow him because we hear his voice. The only confidence that I can have as a preacher here in this church is that if I preach the word of God, his sheep will follow. Now, sometimes they'll wander astray and they'll go here and there, but they're going to follow because they're the Lord's sheep. They're going to hear his voice. It's not me and how loud I get or don't get or how I appeal to you. It's how God's word affects you. That's what happened to Nicodemus eventually. He changed. That's what happened to Zacchaeus immediately. I mean, immediately. Took a while with Nicodemus. I think there's a lesson in that. The Good Shepherd. John 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. And they shall never perish. If you're saved today, you can live with that confidence. You can have assurance. When you get sick, you realize it may be unto death. You don't know. Only God knows. But you can know this. If it's unto death, he'll not leave me in that grave. He's coming after me. If you're not saved, you don't have that confidence. You're in the state of Nicodemus. I hope you're here today and you're in the state of Zacharias. Not Zacharias. Zacchaeus. I hope you hear his voice. And I hope you respond to that voice in the way that he did. Come down. For today I must abide at thy house. If God calls, you need to respond. The only way you can know you're a sheep is to respond. Don't wait for a feeling. Don't wait for some special thing to happen to you. Just believe God's word. That's what Jesus puts emphasis on. He that liveth and believeth on me shall never die. Believest thou this? I hope this will encourage all of us here today if you're lost. Maybe just be the starting point of you wanting to know more. Or possibly, this is the time that God's called you. You need to respond. Maybe you're already saved and you're in a state where you can say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. That's our message. Tim, come, lead us in the invitation.